personal note that producer Jacob remembered from the spring when we talked to Drake May on the old afternoon show that he does indeed have a personal relationship with Mason Rudolph.
Interesting.
So they'll be squaring off today. His message there, I guess, was just be yourself, Drake. So far, it seems to have worked out for him, although he is looking for his first win as quarterback for the New England Patriots. Hopefully, we'll get it today.
So I said that this week, and people accosted me because technically he gets the win for last week because he started the game.
And I'm not saying that like he didn't contribute to that.
Sure.
He absolutely did.
Yeah, that rushing touchdown was a big deal.
Absolutely. Like, he was the leading rusher in that game when he went out in the second quarter until the last 2 minutes of the game. So he obviously was productive when he was in there. I don't think I totally count it as him winning the game. I think you should stay in the game.
Yeah, 100%. He has to play the full game to get the W.
So this goes back to where we started the program, and we've peppered it throughout, but about expectations for the style that Drake is going to play in today. And we read this very differently in hearing from Alex Van Pelt this week and hearing from Gerard Mayo very early in the week talking about, hey, if Drake's going to be out there as a runner in the open field, he's got to be able to protect himself. And that's a tough lesson for all young quarterbacks to learn when you take off the risk that you're assuming by being out there and being like any other NFL ball carrier. And my takeaway, the more that I watch that hit, is just kind of an unfortunate hit. You know, I don't think that, what's his name? Sorry, Jermaine Sherwood. I don't think that he went in there with like the intent of a helmet to helmet hit.
Correct.
I think it was just kind of awkward timing and, again, unfortunate. But I just hope that it doesn't lend itself to the lesson from that situation being, well, we got to pull the reins back on Drake. This wild stallion, we got to rein him in a little bit because he's such an important asset and he means so much to the franchise. We got to protect him.
Yeah, I also think those words a lot of time are hollow. Like, you've heard Sean McDermott say that about Josh Allen multiple times, and yet Josh Allen still goes nuts. When he wants to go nuts, he goes nuts. And that's kind of what you have to do, right? You have to know when the right time is. The classic Avengers line where Hulk says, my secret is I'm always angry. Like, that's what Drake should always be. He should always be ready to run.
Is that like a well-known line? I am not a comics person.
Oh, yeah, in the Avengers.
Superhero person.
The Avengers, Captain America says to Bruce Banner, he's like, hey, you might want to get angry so that you can fight these guys. He's like, Cap, that's my secret. I'm always angry.
But he's not always angry because sometimes he gets angry and turns into the Hulk.
No, see, that's the thing. He's always angry so that he can turn into the Hulk at any time. It's managing the anger part.
Okay.
That's kind of my point with Drake May, right? Like, he has to know. He has to always be ready to run, but he has to know when it's most beneficial, right? He has to know when the risk is higher than, like, the reward is higher than the risk. And ultimately, that's kind of the balance he needs to figure out. And I think, you know, you look at other rushing quarterbacks in the league, Josh Allen's a guy who wants to pursue contact when he runs, which is, I think, a thing Drake does not want to do. But you look at guys like Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson and other runners who want to get yards, but then a lot of times they'll slide, they'll go out of bounds, they won't take unnecessary hits. I think Patrick Mahomes kind of dances around that line a lot.
I'm sorry, what he does is so annoying.
It's very annoying. I couldn't agree more with you. It's just infuriating.
You're talking about, I can just picture in my mind's eye the dancing feet acting like he's going out of bounds, and yeah. Oh, you hit me.
And then another 10 yards down the sideline, it's like, oh, do I get a flag? So I think Drake just needs to know when it's imperative that he does run and when he doesn't. And I think this is a game where he shouldn't have to run, but if he finds himself in a position in the fourth quarter where it's a tie ball game or you're down three and you need yards, you need to score, okay, this is a time I have to run. And I think that's the balance.
That might be a really good time for you to get angry.
That's my secret, Captain.
Always angry.
I need to know, is this in the zeitgeist? Is this something that people walk around saying?
I think anybody that's ever watched a comic book movie knows that line, generally.
Well, I feel like it's not like the lines from the second Batman movie with Joker.
Yeah, that one's that one's more, I mean, that one's one of the greatest cinematic masterpieces
touchstone
of all time. Like, it's, you know,
I'm just trying to figure out, like, who's more out of step here. Is it you invoking this whole
line?
Probably,
yeah, that's generally the case.
Or is it me not being up on superheroes?
No.
Although the superheroes are really falling out now.
Yeah, well, it's oversaturation of the market.
You say everybody's moving on.
Yeah.
Can't say I'm sad about it.
Look, I have...
Give me some original IP.
I have lost some interest in some of the superhero stuff, sure. It's a little bit of oversaturation. I'll never lose interest in Batman-related things. It just won't
Batman's
happen.
Batman's cool. He's the only cool
awesome.
One.
He's the best. But that's also why that second Batman movie is one of the greatest cinematic masterpieces of all time. And so, of course, those quotes live... in much higher standard than maybe the Avengers quotes. I would say a lot of people get the Avengers quote, though. Well, most of them, maybe.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm happy for them.
Thank you.
So that's my concern going into the game. I'm not really concerned about Drake's health or his ability to protect himself. I'm more concerned that they'll revert to this conservative approach that they seem to love, which is even if Drake is looking good early, that they'll go, oh, got to establish the run game, got to establish the run game. And I understand the idea of doing that and alleviating some of the responsibility from Drake May. But when it's an opportunity that you're going up against a team that's as disorganized and dysfunctional as Tennessee is, this is an instance when I would like to see them get the win. And Scheim, you think that they could start a winning streak?
Yes, I think this could be the beginning of a winning streak. Win today, you're on a streak. You're off and running. You're moving and grooving. Like, that's the beauty of it. And then you draw a Bears team who, I mean, they're underdogs technically against the Arizona Cardinals today. They lose on that just gut-wrenching Hail Mary from
gut-wrenching. I'd say beautiful, miraculous.
Yeah, Noah's Ark, some have titled it. I don't know if I love that, but it's good job.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's okay.
They
need a better name. Like, there's the Hail Murray.
The name has to have more to do with Jaden Daniels because he's going to be the one who's remembered for throwing it.
Yeah, so maybe like the Flying Jaden or something. I don't know.
Dude, let's not workshop this on air. I don't think we're going to win with it.
But you're going to get a Bears team that might be reeling. They might lose two in a row. And so if you're coming off a two-game win, you're on a two-game win streak here, and you're drawing the Bears who are coming off losing two in a row, like, this is an opportunity for you to really kind of start churning forward and start building something going forward for the rest of the season. And who knows? That may lead to more wins later in the year, or it may lead to just a better sentiment and feeling within that building heading into Drake's second year.
More wins, Scheim. Won't that hurt their draft position? This is something we talked about earlier in the show. First of all, I don't think that two wins back-to-back, that's back-to-back wins. That's
a
not
streak.
A streak.
Yeah,
a streak needs three wins.
A
dynasty needs three championships. If you're going to have a streak, one and one, like, two wins is not a streak. Three wins is a streak.
So are you a big fan of the casinos? Do you go to casinos very often? Okay. Well, you know, when you win two times in a row, you're on a heater. You started a heater. Can't quit on a heater. You got to keep it rolling. Heater, streak, same thing. Synonymous.
I don't think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's back-to-back. Mm-hmm. That's why we say back-to-back. We don't say they're on a winning streak.
You're on a streak. You've won two in a row. That's multiple
two in a row.
Anyway,
I do think that I agree with you. Like, the tank talk, I'm past it.
It's so dumb.
That's conversation that Tennessee and Carolina can have because they don't have the quarterback.
Exactly. That's what those teams that don't have any hope or future talk about is, yeah, let's tank and get a top five pick. You have hope. You have a future. You have your quarterback. You have the foundation of your franchise moving forward. Let's start to build some confidence within him. Let's show him that he can win games in the NFL, that he can be competitive with any team at any given time, any other quarterback. It doesn't matter. And then let's start helping him and supplement the roster to help him move forward.
I'm going to give you something that really might be cause for optimism.
Oh?
And this might just be more about how gross the bad teams in the NFL are this year.
I'm here. I'm listening.
When you look at the top five draft position teams,
mm-hmm.
Carolina, Tennessee, New England, Jacksonville, New Orleans.
Yes.
Who would you most want to be out of that group of
five
teams?
The New England Patriots. It's not even close. It's not even close.
They're the best of the worst.
It's true, though. Like, you don't want to be the Panthers. They are owned by a horrible person and just a horrible franchise. The Jaguars are an absolute dumpster fire that just paid $250 million to a quarterback you don't even know is good. You have the Titans, who drafted Will Levis, who likes to put mayonnaise in his coffee, which is literal.
He also just doesn't look good.
Literal insanity. He also eats bananas with the peels. Insane person.
Okay, wait. This is an important thing that I need to ask you because I've had this debate in my house. When you unpeel the banana, do you peel from the stem or the other side of the banana?
No, from the stem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
always.
Thank you.
Yeah,
my husband peels it from the other side.
What? Wait. You can do that?
And he calls that that the top of the banana.
No.
I'm
the
like,
top
that's
of the
not the top
stem.
Of the banana. It's a stem. That's where it grows from the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, he peels it from the other side, and I'm like, this is... You're a psychopath.
You're married to a crazy person.
It's horrifying. I've never met anybody else who does
this. I know
this.
You dressed up as Gale Weathers for Halloween. You might want to be concerned that Scream is in your, or Ghostface is in your house.
It's very disturbing.
That's disturbing.
Anyway, sorry. New Orleans, what's tough with that?
New Orleans stinks. Dennis Allen is like...
New Orleans stinks.
I'm pretty sure Dennis Allen has the worst winning percentage of any head coach, almost like ever. Like, it's so bad. He is a terrible head coach, and that roster's just not very good. Derek Carr is so mediocre, it hurts. And you paid him $180 million or whatever it was, $140. And so all of those teams are in terrible spots with terrible contracts or terrible owners or terrible coaches. However, your coach is still a question mark. You don't really know if he's good or bad
yet. I think that's fair.
Your quarterback, though, you know is good. And he's a rookie quarterback in the first year of his deal. So you immediately have an advantage over all of those teams.
Okay, I'm going to ask you something about Drake May when we come back. Because I'm starting to like get this itchy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I get this itchy feeling when I'm starting to hear something over and over. And I'm like, I don't know.
I may be the wrong person to ask
this. I don't know. So right after trending, when we come back, we're going to address this itch. WEI's Football Sunday Show with me, Megan Adelini, and Chris Schein. Christian Arcan will be back next week. He had a scheduled day off, which is very nice for him. We'll be joined by Andy Hart of WEI's Afternoon Show in about 10 minutes. All right. Sorry, Coach. Sounds like you're having a great Sunday, but this little drop button lesson for... Producer Jacob back there. You got that? All right.
Yes, I did.
All right. That was not in safe harbor. Sorry.
If you can call back and maybe not be on speakerphone with whatever fantastic.
Coach is normally a great caller. Yeah. It sounded like he was at like a tailgate or something, right?
Do you think he's at the brunch? The morning show brunch?
Ooh, the Strega North End brunch. Maybe he is.
The basic bitch brunch? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the basic brunch.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, they left the
I'm going to have to dump you twice, Mego.
No, that was fine.
I thought that was the name of it.
No,
anyway,
it's the basic
brunch.
But that's the idea, right?
That's the idea. It's implied.
Exactly. Because brunch is a super basic thing to do, so that's why they named it the basic brunch.
I'm not about brunch.
Really? Why not?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never
Are you not a breakfast person?
I love breakfast food, but I'd rather just go sit at a very greasy diner.
Okay.
And have, you know, a big menu where I can choose any kind of omelet I want in the whole world.
I get that.
Then go somewhere that has like a very sophisticated brunch setup where it's like, oh, you have to choose between this artisanal French toast or, this like farmer's omelet that has spinach in it. I'm like, I don't want that. I want my breakfast food to be so greasy.
But can't you, but brunch can be non-basic. Like, you can go to a diner and get brunch. Like,
I don't count that as brunch. I just count that as breakfast.
But see, one of my favorite things is being able to go somewhere and get a giant plate of French toast, but also maybe, like, buffalo chicken.
Okay.
Like, it's just...
That's weird.
It's just the first thing that came to my head.
Buffalo chicken is not, like, a brunch staple.
It's a lunch thing.
Okay.
You know?
What is the weirdest thing that you can eat for breakfast? I have
the weirdest thing you can eat for breakfast, like that's socially acceptable, or just
no? That you just if you walked in and someone ordered it for breakfast, you'd go, "What is wrong with you?"
Probably.
Do you want the answer?
Yeah, I would like the answer.
Salad.
Oh, absolutely, great call.
If someone sat down and was like, "For breakfast, I'm having an arugula salad," you would look at them and go, "Like, what are you deranged?"
Like classic bouncer style, I'd pick them up by the scruff of their neck, like you're out of here.
Throw them down the steps outside.
Yep, like you're not coming back. Don't ever do that in my presence again. Especially when you're presented with so many awesome things. You can get pancakes, chicken and waffles. You can get French toast. You can get an omelet with all the fixings, meats, veggies, whatever you prefer.
Straight up fried eggs.
Yep. You can get Eggs Benny. You can get like Irish Eggs Benny with some corned beef.
Eggs Benny kind of scares me. I'm intimidated by
why?
That. I don't know.
You like omelets, right?
Yeah.
So what scares you about Eggs Benny?
Deviled eggs and Eggs Benny just kind of freak me out.
So I'm not a big deviled eggs guy. I'll give you that. But Eggs Benny is delightful. It's just like it's just a runny egg. It's just soft boiled on top of generally toast or an English muffin and some sort of meat, whether it's
I think it's the name. You know,
the Eggs Benedict?
Benedict is just like such a proper name.
It just gives Benedict Arnold that you just hate it so
Benedict
much.
Benedict Cumberbatch, maybe.
Ooh, Benedict Cumberbatch. But Benedict Cumberbatch, I feel like he has a really good approval rating. So wouldn't ex-Benedict also have a high approval rating?
Yeah, but if I saw him walking down the street, I'd be like, oh my God, that's Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, you'd be intimidated.
I feel about ex-Benedict.
Ah, okay.
That's not how I feel about anybody on the Tennessee Titans.
No, I feel like
maybe
that.
Maybe Tony Pollard.
Yeah, they don't have a Benedict on their team, do they?
A little.
No, just a Julius Chestnut.
A little Julius Chestnut. Great, great
What
name.
A good name.
Is there any way that you can see the Patriots really screwing this game up?
Yeah, oh yeah. If Drake comes out and like, kind of throws up all over himself and throws a couple interceptions, and the defense just continues to be putrid, it could look bad. I don't expect that to happen. I really don't. I just don't. I think Drake is way, way better than that. So outside of that, I feel like they could lose this game, but I don't think it'll be embarrassing.
Embarrassing was Jacksonville.
Yes,
that was an embarrassing loss. You gave up 22 points in the second quarter. I'm not even saying like that was embarrassing for Drake May, which is where I know your focus constantly is week in and week out. That was embarrassing for your defense, and it was embarrassing for the coaching staff.
Yeah, so right, if a team decides to run on you 20 straight times.
Which they might do with Tony.
It could. A combination of Tony and Julius, that could happen, and that would be pretty ugly. I think as a team, it would be against this team in particular, it would look really difficult. It would be really difficult to look terrible. I just don't think their offense is as explosive as Jacksonville's, right? Like when you look at the Jaguars offense, there are pieces
they
there that
the
other people would want.
They have components that it should be working.
Right, your Travis Etienne, Tank Bigsby combo on top of Brian Thomas Jr., who's awesome, by the way, Christian Kirk, who's now out with an injury, Gabe Davis, and then Trevor Lawrence. Like there are pieces there on the offense that would make that team decent. What on this Tennessee Titans offense is, like, good? Is Calvin Ridley actually good? Like, he's fine.
I talked a lot of stuff about how much I wanted him in the spring, so I would like him to look better.
Yeah, he's fine. And then Tony Pollard's a decent running back, but, I mean, their quarterback stinks. Like, it's Mason Rudolph.
Calvin Ridley is, like, the epitome for me of rooting for the take.
Yeah, that's
for
fair.
The take
I totally
to come
that.
Through. That's all I feel about that. What I said before the break, though, I said that I had this feeling of, like, itchiness about when I hear something over and over again and it starts to go, we're just taking this as fact because everyone's saying it to each other. We're in a little bit of an echo
chamber. What's
making
you itchy?
Okay, so when you say maybe Drake May will come out and metaphorically, hopefully, not physically, because that could be a symptom of a head injury, but throw up all over himself, throw a bunch of interceptions, just look totally goofy and outclassed. I kind of feel like we need to prepare ourselves for that game at some point this season.
Oh, absolutely.
But I'm starting to think that we're taking it for granted, and that's what's making me itchy, because we've seen him through 2.3 games, and I believe, like you, Shime, I'm bought in.
Yeah, yeah.
I like him.
Love
it. I think he's going to be really good. I love his makeup. He's got good character. I think he'll be a good leader, too.
Yep.
I think he's got the intangibles and the tangibles, but I don't think we've been through the true downs and the ups and downs with his personal performances so far.
Can I tell you when I think that game will happen? Because I have a good idea of when it'll happen.
Is this because you're like girding yourself against it? This is self-preservation. You know this week you have to be talking about your Drake takes in a protective way.
No, I mean, I just look at it and like, you know, when I look at Josh Allen's career, who is a guy I really like to compare Drake to because I think there's a lot of similarities there. Josh Allen had a couple times, especially early on in his career, where he just like, dude, what are you doing? It's just Superman symptom. He thinks he has to do everything, and so he's making throws that nobody should ever make, and you're just throwing into coverage. And
he had a lot of those last season.
Yeah, and so, yeah, and he's not doing that this year. I mean, he just turned the ball over the first time last week. And so I actually kind of think that Bills game in week 16 at Buffalo is a spot that we could get that Drake game, or the following week against the Chargers. The Chargers defense is really, really good. Like, underratedly so. I don't think enough people are giving them credit. Jim Harbaugh has done a really good job at making that defense very stout. They haven't had as many turnovers as they probably should, but points-wise, they are dominating teams at times. And so I feel like that's a moment where they could just have that turnover regression to the mean where they get a bunch and Drake just gives up a bunch.
You could also see it getting to a point where Drake has developed a lot over those several weeks.
Yep.
And so starts to feel like, well, if we're going to steal a game from a divisional opponent with Buffalo, or if we're
going to
go up against the Chargers, I'm going to take it on me because I've proven that I can control and manipulate different parts of this game the way that nobody else on the team can in any way.
Yeah.
And that's what you want your quarterback to do at all
times. Absolutely.
But if he really feels like he can turn the tide, then the Superman cape starts to come on, and maybe you take on too much too soon.
And I think that it's okay if he has one of those games, right? It's if there's more than one that it becomes an issue, right? Because I think, especially for a rookie quarterback, if you have a game where you throw three picks, okay, right, that's fine. You're learning your limits.
You're kind of like, get it out of your system, figure it out.
Definitely. Like that, and you're kind of experimenting a little bit on what you can and can't get away with
at
this level.
It's like a teenager pushing boundaries.
100%. That's exactly what it is. Because you're graduating from a college game to an NFL game that are entirely different. It's like learning a brand new language. And so if you go out in public in Spain and you just started learning Spanish, you may say some words that make you look like an idiot. And so there may be a moment in time where Drake May goes out and looks like an idiot, but overall, like, he'll be fine. Like, he's learning really, really fast. He's understanding a lot of it. And I think there's a chance we don't even get that game from him because I just think he's that good. But if it comes, I think it's the Bills and Chargers, those weeks right there.
Are you learning to speak Spanish right now?
No, I took like 6 years of Spanish in high school and college.
Okay. I was going to say that was just a metaphor that seemed like readily available for you, yeah, and was not one that I would commonly think of on sports radio.
Yeah.
But that's you. You're outside the box, man.
Yeah, you know, I do a lot of studying up on the, you know, evolution of players coming from college into the NFL. So I heard that somebody else give that take once before, so that's why it was kind of stuck.
Oh,
in my brain.
No, you take Snake.
No, I didn't take Snake.
Metaphor Snake.
No, I took it and pivoted it and molded it and made it my own. So
okay, all right. I think now is a good time to bring in Andy Hart, host of the WEEI Afternoon Show. Andy, thank you for joining us. I guess I have to ask you what your expectations are from the jump for Drake May coming off of a head injury and having seemingly limited snaps at practice because of being in that concussion protocol throughout the week.
Continue to evolve, continue to progress and learn. And, you know, I was listening before I came on. There's going to be bumps somewhere. All quarterbacks, first of all, not just rookies, all quarterbacks have bad days, bumpy roads at some point. And he'll have one of those. I don't expect it to be today. I don't necessarily think it'll be today. But just continue to gain reps. It was one of the things we talked about all week. My co-host over there, host one, Christian Arcand, was like, wait one more week. And I'm like, why? If the doctors say he's cleared to play, play him and continue to add reps. I already think he's chasing reps. We don't have to relitigate it, as they say, but he should have played against the Panthers in the preseason more. So I think just get those valuable reps. And it will be interesting to see. I know one of the talking points has been, is he going to slide different or treat his running different? Or is he going to be hesitant or not? Whatever. I mean, I guess we can keep an eye out for that. I don't think there'll be an issue. I think he's an athlete. If anybody watched those highlights that the Patriots were putting out with his high school coach, he is Josh Allen. And those high school highlights show it. There was one goal line play where he just did like the helicopter, John Elway, Josh Allen type thing, diving over guys. I don't think that changes because he took a little bump on the back of the head.
Well, Andy, one of the things that Drake needs to actually have success today is receivers that catch the football. Javon Baker is active. Looks like he's going to be on the field. Do you expect anything from him this week after hearing what Jerod Mayo said about him earlier this week?
Expect? No. Hope? Yes.
Okay.
And those are two different things. I'm trying to remain hopeful with him. I thought he had a really challenging summer that has led into a challenging rookie season. But the reality is that whole room has something to prove. So Javon Baker has some juice. We know that. We just need to find a way to squeeze it properly, maybe strain it a little bit, get the pulp out, get the seeds out. I'm going with these metaphors because you had the good one about speaking Spanish.
Thank
and all
you.
That, so I figured I'd go some juice.
He stole that one.
I didn't steal it.
I was disappointed as well when I heard that because I was going to come on saying, I gato encerrado. Do you know what that means, Shime?
It means you stole that metaphor.
No, it's something about a cat?
Well, the cat is on fire, but it actually means you're pulling my leg. So that was the example I was going to use.
Like your liar pants on fire.
Yeah, but it sounds like you're saying, what? The cat's on fire? Where? We should probably put it out.
And I would just like to clarify. The only portion of that I used from somebody else was the college into NFL different language thing. The whole being in Spain part is my own. That's how I pivoted it and made it my own.
Good. Good.
Okay, makes me feel a little better.
Okay, cool.
Well, let's just hope that the playbook and the route tree and those things aren't aren't Spanish to Jevon Baker. Let's hope he knows how to do them and they come.
Just line up properly, please.
Yeah, just line up properly, run. And then when the quarterback, Drake May, does something cool, try to catch the ball. Try not to ruin what I call recruiting clips. Those are recruiting clips for me. Those are clips I want to be sending out on social media, like last week when Tyquan Thornton dropped it. That should have been making the rounds so that receivers, other players are like, whoa, New England's got one of those cool quarterbacks. I kind of want to go there and play with that. So Jevon Baker, the other guys have had their opportunities. They haven't taken advantage. Take advantage of your opportunities today.
Yeah, on that note, Andy, Jalen Polk was reportedly out warming up with the receivers.
Did he catch the ball?
I don't have any tweets about
that.
Did
he look like a seal with his flippers just clapping together and the ball missing?
Okay, so maybe maybe you're answering this right now. I was going to ask where his stock is with you personally. Do you want to see more Jalen Polk through the season? Do you think water will find its level there?
Yes, I think he's better than what he's done. I think he's better than what he's done on the field and off the field. I don't know why he has been, A, so incapable of catching the football, and B, kind of dinky off the field in his comments. I was told, leading up to the draft pick, I was told, we're going to draft a receiver that people are going to think we overdrafted, but we really like. We think he's a professional. We think he brings a lot of maturity and everything you want at the position. And he's looked anything but that. He hasn't sounded like a professional. He hasn't looked like a professional. So I do still have hopes for Jalen Polk. And I do, you know, it's way too early to write him off, and there's too much invested. I think we're going down the road of writing off Tyquan Thornton because he's a little further down the road.
Yeah, it's years now, Andy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So it might be time to give up on that, and let's invest some of the opportunities and even just some of our rooting for one of these guys to finally work out. Let's root for Jalen Polk because it's been bad, and I don't. We were talking about this with Mike Giardi during the week. You can't afford to look at the wide receiver position and be like, oh my God, we have to continue to just basically start over. We're not, maybe Pop Douglas, maybe Kendrick Bourne if he doesn't get traded. But, you know, Baker has not looked good. Polk has not looked good. Thornton we're giving up on. Osborne's not out there. Is he going to be traded, cut? So some of these guys need to develop, and Jalen Polk is sort of the newest guy you can root for. So let's root for him, and hopefully he catches the ball.
So on the defensive side of the football, Andy, Kyle Duggar is officially inactive today. There have been reports that maybe teams have been calling in on him, in particular the San Francisco 49ers. You just mentioned Giardi. He tweeted that he thinks he's out today more so for the ankle injury. Do you have a read at all on what's up with Kyle Duggar? Is it just injury-related? Are they keeping him out because he is a trade piece that could get sent out? What's your feeling right now?
My perception and guess, and this isn't really sourced, it's just sort of observing from afar, is it's more injury because I don't really get the idea of trading him. Did you screw the pooch on re-signing him? Because I would understand if there weren't Jabril Peppers issues, because one of the things a lot of us talked about was sort of overlapping skill set, play style, replication, which I think was an issue. At the time, I said I probably wouldn't re-sign Kyle Duggar because of that. But you re-signed him, you got him under contract, you like him, he's kind of a leader on the team, and Jabril Peppers may never play for you again based on everything that went on. I don't know where that's going to go, but that's at least a possibility that he never plays for you again. So you're not duplicating those two guys, right? So to give up on Duggar this quickly, and I think this is actually a bigger picture question too, just in, so Kendrick Bourne's available, Devon Godshaw's available, Kyle Duggar is available. You blew every draft pick not named Drake May. Elliot Wolf, what would you say you did last spring that was beneficial to the rebuild? So I would listen to everything, but if I'm just going to get a middling pick for Kyle Duggar, it doesn't really make sense to me. This defense liked him. This organization liked him, wanted to re-sign him. So I'm going to guess today is as much about the injury as anything, but if there's a side benefit of keeping him healthy, because obviously we saw this week, a reminder that trades can blow up. The Christian Kirk thing. He was apparently going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler until he got hurt. So that's a case of an injury just flat out blowing up a trade. So if you want to keep your options open, I guess there's probably a double value to him being inactive.
Andy, while we're on the defense, Tony Pollard is active today for Tennessee. What can the defense do to look better against the run when it's clear that Tennessee's probably going to lean on their backs, having Mason Rudolph out there?
You know, I hate to sound like a coach here, but I do think it's discipline, execution. Like, it's guys just being in the right spot. You know, run defense. I know you have to defeat blocks, but I've seen guys just too many missed tackles, too many guys kind of taking the easy way out at times. And I know Gerard Mayo was asked a question about, you know, still two-gap principles. What's the overlap? And he was like, we do both. You know, there's times when we're in two-gap principles, which for anybody listening who doesn't know, that means you kind of have to defeat the blocker in front of you, and you're kind of responsible for both gaps to your right and to your left. And then there's other times where you're a one-gap guy, and they tell you, okay, just go to the gap to your right. You own that. The running back comes through there. You got to have it. So I think some of that is the back and forth maybe and them not executing great in terms of their run fits, quote-unquote, in those gaps. I always think run defense, too, is a little bit about desire. You know, it's about wanting to defeat blocks.
It's a horrible indication then for the team.
100%. It's like, you know, defense in basketball, I think, is about effort a lot of the time. Do you want to play defense? If you want to play defense, you can get in the way.
Sometimes it's about wingspan, though.
Well, yes, at the highest level. Absolutely, at the highest level of it. But generally, good defenders have high energy and desire, and they work at it, and they want to do it. And I think this run defense has to want to do it, has to want to defeat blocks, has to want to do the dirty work, create double teams, but also has to make tackles when it has the opportunities. And I'm not devaluing also the fact that they're not what Bill Belichick had last year. I'll keep going back to that. He says it's the same guys. It isn't.
Absolutely.
You're without the best guy at all three levels. Peppers, Bentley, and Barmore. The best three guys at all three levels are gone from the run defense. So is there a limitation of how good they can be? Yes. Does it hurt to have Kyle Duggar out? Absolutely. But you also need to be scrappy. And as you said, realize they're probably going to try to run at us. So come out ready to stop the run mentally, physically, and schematically.
So we got our eighth offensive line combination in 9 games starting
awesome.
Today.
Let's go.
Do you expect them to have any success against a Tennessee front that has not been great at getting pressure all season?
Yes, because I think some of the success is the quarterback, the ability to move. I think he's done a pretty good job. I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to ask you, Shine, so it's going to be positive. No, I think he's done a good job picking his spots to run, moving around the pocket, seeing, being aware. Now, Jeffrey Simmons, great player. Like Harold Landry, good veteran guy. There's some guys that are going to challenge this offensive line. My guess is guys are going to get beat. My guess is they're going to screw up a couple stunts because I've watched all year long, and generally guys get beat every game, and they screw up some stunts every game. That's where it's on the quarterback to be aware, not allow it to be a real detrimental play, whether that's throwing the ball away, whether that's finding a hot receiver, whether that's scrambling. You know, there's ways that he can help out that offensive line. I don't think this offensive line is suddenly, I know Gerard Mayo said one of the strengths of the team. I don't know if that was the last week with you guys, I believe.
It's just going a little too far in the other direction.
A little bit. And some of it I do actually think is they benefit from low expectations. You know, I always use the movie analogy. When everybody says a movie sucks and you watch it, and like, it wasn't really that bad. I mean, it was fine for an hour and a half. I think that's where this offensive line is. It was so bad early with a quarterback that didn't help that you got a different quarterback out there. He helped a little. They played a little bit better. Vidarian Lowe, like some of the things fell into place. Ben Brown, and they're not abysmal. But I don't like hearing Gerard Mayo say, A, they're a strength, and then, yeah, Vidarian Lowe might be the long-term left tackle. No. He's the best of what you got these days, but that doesn't mean I want him starting for Drake May for the next 2, 3, 4 years. So my guess is Drake May will have to make some plays with his legs today.
Okay, Andy, what is your prediction for the outcome of this game?
I'm taking the Patriots.
Love it.
I would not be if the quarterback situation wasn't different, but Drake May is playing. I think he adds, first and foremost, I think he adds juice. I've been saying this since the preseason at Gillette when he came into the game and it felt like everybody lifted. And I think you will see a little bit of that today, a bounce in the step of the wide receivers. Some of these young guys, we hear, had a good week, and we hear the coaches are sort of believing in them, whether it's Alex Van Pelt or Gerard Mayo, so I think there'll be a bounce in the receiver's steps. No Snead out there for the Titans. It is numerically a good pass defense. I think that's a little misleading and overrated based on yards, short fields, Will Levis, all those things early in the year. So I'm going to say the Patriots get this win. I'm going to say Patriots 24. Titans 13. I think you're going to have a Drake May day that
wow.
includes a passing
double
touchdown.
Digit win.
double-digit win and both a passing and a rushing touchdown for your rookie quarterback.
Okay.
Love it, Andy.
That's a sexy prediction from Andy Hart. Andy Hart, you can hear him Monday through Friday, every afternoon, 2 to 6 with Christian Arcan, hosts 1 and 2 on the WEEI afternoon show. Thank you, Andy. Yeah. Andy the seal.
Hopefully no out in today, because that'll be bad for my prediction if there's too many seals trying to catch passes out there.
Okay, wonderful. Yes, I think we all don't want to see seals out there on the field. When we come back, we will hit pop, lock, and drop, and a special spin that Shime is putting on our picks for the week right after this break. Just minutes until kickoff between the New England Patriots and the Tennessee Titans, and gotta be honest, I'm a little distracted right now because I am frantically trying to place a bet over here, which Shime knows I don't really do, but Shime added a wrinkle to our pop, lock, and drop segment in which we give out our bets, and I'm so excited about the one that I chose that I'm trying to actually put the bet in here, and I just never do this, so I had to log back into my DraftKings. So let's go to pop, lock, and drop. All right, Shime, do you want to start us off, or would you like me to?
I'll start. Okay. So my pop this week is going to be Justin Herbert, quarterback for the L.A. Chargers against the Cleveland Browns. Browns coming off a big win over the Ravens with Jameis Winston at quarterback. But the guy I'm more interested in is Justin Herbert, because beginning of the season, Chargers were one of the most run-heavy teams on early downs. Last few weeks, though, Justin Herbert has been lighting it up on early downs. He is starting to really get going. They're really starting to let him cook a little bit. Jim Harbaugh is more comfortable with how the offense is rolling under Greg Roman. So I love Justin Herbert, 225-plus passing yards as a way to pop this week.
Okay, we both have quarterbacks as our pop picks. I'm going with my guy, Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
He's 2 weeks now removed from the rib injury. I got 70-plus rushing yards because he's seeing awful Giants. I think he's feeling pretty good coming off of that Hail Mary that he had that we're still trying to come up with a proper name for at the end of that game last week. That's plus 215 payout. So Jaden Daniels, 70 rushing yards or more, plus 215. That's my pop. What's your lock?
Yeah, my lock today is A.J. Brown to have a big day for the Philadelphia Eagles. 80-plus receiving yards, more or less, for A.J. Brown here. I think he is going to dominate against this Jacksonville Jaguars defense. Jalen Hurts has looked a lot better recently at quarterback than he did early in the week. I think there's a chance he makes a push for the MVP award over the next few weeks. Yeah, so
quite a heat up.
Yeah, give me A.J. Brown to have a good day for the Eagles here, close to 90 yards receiving.
I like that. Like everybody at brunch, I'm very basic. I went with another quarterback pick for my lock. I got Josh Allen, anytime touchdown score, plus 130. Dolphins at Bills. I just think that's easy money right there. I'm surprised it's a plus. But with Josh Allen, I also was trying to see what the numbers were on throwing an interception, because as you said, that's something that he really hasn't done this season, but it's still somewhere in the system with him. But it was just minus money, so it wasn't really worth it.
Nah, definitely not worth it there. So my drop this week, though, for you, I'm going to drop. It seems kind of counterintuitive. I'm going to drop the Lions-Packers game. I want nothing to do with this game. It's supposed to be windy and rainy in Lambeau. This is Jared Goff's first outdoor game of the year, but at the same time, the Lions have been an absolute wagon. They run the football better than just about any team in the game, and so I just don't know how to approach this. I'm going to stay away.
It's going to be a super fun game. As long as the conditions don't totally wreck it, I think it's going to be the one most worth watching. My drop is going to be any rushing bet in the Patriots and Titans game.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what to expect there. Maybe I could see Ramondre Stevenson somehow having a little bit of a breakout game. I could see Tony Pollard being held anywhere from like 60 rushing yards to like 140. I just don't know. I don't know what to do. I'd stay away from that.
Okay. So the new wrinkle I'm going to incorporate into this. This is the inaugural Derek Carr, I'm going to be a psychopath bet of the day, because Derek Carr, leading up to this week, said, and I quote, "In my return, I am going to be a psychopath." So in honor of my guy, Derek Carr, we're going to give our psychopath bets, which are just like super long shots that have like crazy odds. So obviously the first one here, Derek Carr, 300 yards and 3 passing touchdowns today, is 12 to 1.
Wow.
I like that on top of So parlay that with Ladd McConkey, 100-plus yards and a touchdown. The two of those combined, 122-1. One ham, as the Jones and Keefe program say, $10 wins you $1,200. Give me Derek Carr, Ladd McConkey, explosion days.
Okay, so mine, which I don't think I'm going to be able to get the bet in on time because I don't have any money in my DraftKings account because I never use it, is Jameis Winston, 2-plus touchdowns.
Okay.
Today is a plus $7,500 payout. Or plus, I'm sorry, plus 7,500. So I can't do the math off the top of my head, but I believe if you put down like $7 on that, you can get upwards to $600 payout.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, did you say passing touchdowns or rushing touchdowns for Jameis there?
It just says 2-plus. I believe it's passing.
Oh, so 2-plus touchdowns, I believe that is rushing touchdowns. 2-plus passing touchdowns for Jameis today is only plus 120.
Okay. Well, then I'm going with the rushing.
I like it.
Let him use his
Jameis
legs.
Winston,
why not?
Big body.
Jameis, he can
get
do
down
anything.
To the goal line.
Do
Let's
anything.
Go. Let's go. Jameis Winston rushing touchdowns. I'm in.
All right. That is our WEI Football Sunday show. We'll have Christian Arcand back with us next week. Thanks for hanging out with us, though. And any to very last second prediction?
Patriots win by 7.
Patriots win by 7? Okay. I think it's also going to be the under. Ugh, sorry, guys.